binge, not the yellow next time. You make a grown man cry.
Right.
You make a grown man cry.
Right.
You make a grown man cry.
Right.
Grab the oil, the gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
Can I start it up?
Start it up.
Well, start it up. All you got. I can't compete.
Can't be.
I've been the rising of the enemy. Either rough it up.
Rough it up.
American Broadcasting. Stay tuned for quality news.
This is the Quality News Network. The Washington Post reports the Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a secret review commissioned by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The first option is to put more troops into Iraq. The second is to reduce the size of the U.S. force but stay longer in Iraq. And the third is to pull out of the country entirely. President Bush said today he hasn't decided whether he will send more troops to Iraq or reduce the size of the force. He wrapped up his week-long trip to Asia with a six-hour stop in Indonesia, where he was greeted by thousands of protesters. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a British television interview Sunday that military victory in the war in Iraq is no longer possible. He also said the United States must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. The Associated Press reports that Iran has invited the Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop the spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. Syria's foreign minister was in Iraq this weekend for talks. It's the first high-level diplomatic contact between the two countries in nearly a quarter century. In Iraq, violence has claimed the lives of 48 Iraqis today. The Iraqi death toll so far in November is at least 1,370, according to the Associated Press count, making it the deadliest month since the tracking began. Today, Democratic Representative Charles Rangel, the incoming chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, has brought up the idea of reinstating the military draft. Steny Hoyer, who will be the next majority leader in January, said, quote, "We did not include that," end quote, in next year's legislative plans. Numerous polls have found that most Americans, about 7 in 10, oppose bringing back the draft. A school bus accident in Huntsville, Alabama today has killed at least three teenage girls. 30 students were injured when the bus reportedly plunged headfirst more than 30 feet off an interstate. The U.S. Coast Guard reports it seized a homemade submarine off the coast of Costa Rica. The sub, which was made of wood and fiberglass, was carrying 3.5 tons of cocaine on its way to the U.S. from Colombia. 4 people were arrested yesterday. A prominent GOP fundraiser has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. Thomas Noe was convicted for theft, corruption, and forgery in connection with the sale of rare coins, which he was supposed to invest in the Ohio State Workmen's Compensation Fund, but he sold them instead for his personal use. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
California will attempt to protect marine life and restore marine ecosystems by restricting ocean fishing along 200 square miles of the Central California coastline. An environmental group in New England is teaming up with the World Wildlife Fund Canada to recommend that marine reserves be created in large portions of the Northwest Atlantic Ocean to protect marine life and habitat. The U.S. and Russia signed a bilateral deal yesterday that removed the final obstacle to Russia's 13-year quest to join the World Trade Organization. The London Stock Exchange has rejected Nasdaq's latest buyout offer of $5.1 billion. Nasdaq already owns a 25% share of the London Exchange and was hoping to create the world's first transatlantic stock market. The second largest bank in the U.S., Bank of America, will buy U.S. Trust Corp., the Charles Schwab Corporation's private banking unit, for $3.3 billion. It will create the largest private banking business in the U.S. The U.S. Mint will launch newly designed $1 coins next year. The gold coins will have a different president appearing every 3 months, and the public will have a chance to decide on which design they like best. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $58.98 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 26 points at 12,316, NASDAQ up 7, S&P 500 down 1. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, talk to you,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome aboard, everybody. John Fox here at the helm for the time being. Mr. Bob Kincaid's been a bit waylaid getting back to the studio in West Virginia, so I get to go nowhere. I'm still here with you. I'm going to carry Head On here for a little bit, try and fill the mighty shoes of Mr. Kincaid, if at all possible. And, there's a lot going on. We're going to talk about Kissinger's statements and some other things and get into stuff. I'm finding this fascinating that, you know, the greatest never charged war criminal of all time, Mr. Kissinger, is saying that military victory is impossible at this point. I bet that must have come as a shock to old Shrevey and the rest of the neocon tribe. This is a guy who just loves blood and carnage of people darker than themselves, and it's got to be quite a curveball. From Truthout and probably many other places, former Secretary of State Henry A. Kissinger, who regularly advises President Bush on Iraq, said today that a full military victory was no longer possible here or there. He joined a growing number of leading conservatives openly challenging the administration's conduct of the war and positive forecasts for it. If you mean by military victory an Iraqi government that can be established and whose writ runs across the whole country, that gets the civil war under control and sectarian violence under control in a time period that the political process of the democracies will support, I don't believe that is possible, Mr. Kissinger told BBC News. He's right, but then again, a lot of us knew that this was the case well before we got into it, or figured out it was the case when we realized that the war planners weren't listening to the military war planners and wanted to go in with half of the required troops to maintain control in an invasion that was ill-advised. But just because I don't feel like I don't want to keep him waiting, we're going to go straight to the phones here at the top of this first hour of Head On. David from the great state of Maine. How you doing, mate? Welcome aboard.
Good evening, John.
How you going?
Or whatever time it is over there.
it's 10 a.m. Tuesday. How's that for a head spin?
Good morning to you. All right. yeah, I wanted to talk about, obviously, the a few things in the entertainment world. First thing is, I don't know if you heard about this, Michael Richards' racist tirade in The Laugh Factory. He was basically on stage, and I guess he didn't like what two black people in the audience were saying. I don't know if you heard about this. The guy who plays Kramer?
No, I haven't. Please, tell me.
And I guess what happened was somebody had a camera out there while he was performing, and all of a sudden he goes off cue, and he says, 50 years ago, we'd have you upside down with a fork up your ass. You can talk. You're brave now, mother. Throw his ass out. He's a nigger.
What?
The crowd is visibly and audibly confused and upset. Richards responds by saying, they're going to arrest me for calling a black man a nigger.
Oh, my word. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of dumbfounded, but I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm dumbfounded. Please continue.
Yeah, one of the men who was the object of Richard's tirade was outraged, shouting back, that's unnecessary. It isn't necessary. Now, the thing that really got to me was, like, first of all, he didn't do it the second night, so obviously it wasn't part of his act. He had a meltdown. I think a lot of comics have meltdowns. I mean, and I wonder, would we get the same kind of reaction if Lenny Bruce did this, or would we laugh? That's my first reaction to it. but my second thing is that when I heard this, it just made me go into Erieville. I traveled right to Erieville. Paul Rodriguez is commenting on it, and he says, you know, that's why there should be a limitation on the freedom of speech.
Mate.
I know.
Statements like that freak me out beyond belief.
And it's coming from a comic like Paul Rodriguez who can virtually say anything on stage. It's almost like a double standard. I'm not even talking about the white or the black or the Mexican or Hispanic or whatever issue. I'm just saying he said it on stage once. He had a meltdown. If he apologizes, he apologizes. But to demonize Michael Richards completely for having one meltdown, I can understand people being upset, but the ones who blew this out here are the TMZ site. They were in they're a gossip site, and they had cameramen. What they do is it's kind of like a sensational type YouTube site, you know, where they take the video, they'll put like a story, and they'll say this guy had a meltdown, this guy had a meltdown. But I mean, they'll just sit there until something, they'll wait for something to happen rather for it spontaneously to happen.
Well, I can see having a meltdown, and I personally think that stand-up comedy is the hardest gig in entertainment. I think you have to be a brave individual to go out there by oneself and try and make people laugh. And I've known a few struggling comics in my day and have seen some great material not go over, and I've seen some mediocre material really, really crash.
Right.
But, you know...
This is a definite publicist nightmare right here.
Oh, no.
You can't spin it. I'll stick a fork in your ass and hang you upside down. Just, how can you spin that?
Well, I mean, it's got to be an insight onto the guy's true beliefs, you know, meltdown or not, you know. But how many wackos are going to end up agreeing with him?
And you know, but you know something, John? I'm so cynical. You could use this as a soundbite for your next bumper or whatever. I'm so cynical that when I heard this, I said, this must be for the DVD sales for Tuesday for publicity. For Seinfeld season 7.
Any publicity is good publicity. That old adage. Have you ever seen? There's a really, really great BBC series called Absolute Power.
Absolute Power. No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, it's about a PR outfit.
Okay.
And these people are constantly showing in a very comical kind of format,
mm-hmm,
how PR outfits try and spin bad news. And when you mention this, my brain immediately went that this could be, you know, material for an episode of this program, Absolute Power, because they, you know, what, as you said, what a PR nightmare. Could you just imagine this guy's publicist or agent having to,
right,
having to, you know, this go, well, you know, it's not so bad.
And we're in the age of instant video. It's on video. It's not just it's just not an instant that they overheard. He's not going to be able to work in Hollywood for some time, even if he wasn't working in it. But, you know, obviously, well, that story took the back seat to the O.J. Simpson, and I wanted to get your reaction because obviously it shares the namesake of your name too, Fox. But here's the thing I don't understand about this story. They were going to put this special on during the week of Thanksgiving. One of these things does not belong with the other. How can you be that stupid? And then the networks say, well, we don't want anything to do with this now. That's the key word, John. Now.
Yeah, I do understand that. Hey, David, can you hang on through the break?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, just hang on there. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about this whole OJ thing. Because I heard the breaking news just before I went on air here on Australian television. So you're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Sans Bob for the moment. He will be arriving at some point during the proceedings. This is John Fox keeping the chair warm for him at the moment. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with David to talk about the OJ and Fox thing.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
My daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
You can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Nice one, Agnes. That was very, very groovy. All right, folks, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. John Fox keeping the chair warm for the time being. And we had, holding on through the break, our mate David from the great state of Maine. All right, David, let's talk about this O.J. Simpson thing, mate.
Well, obviously, you know, it is the circus to end all circuses of everything.
Well, of course.
I mean, the whole family is just, you know, I feel bad for the O.J. kids and all of this. And I can't believe that his father is still this outrageous. But, you know, it's just funny to me that O.J., my friend remarked it in a fashion. He said, you know, O.J. wins. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, he's going to keep the $3 million. And I was like, and it took me a minute to think about it. And I was like, you know what? These people automatically lose. O.J. keeps the money. And
well, did I catch this right? Because I have to admit that, you know, since I do think of this as very much a distraction, I didn't read on the details of what the program was about, but I did hear that they were going to ask, or he was going to say that if he was going to kill his wife, how he'd do it. Did I hear this right?
That's the whole concept of this special. And supposedly a movie was going to come out of this where O.J. would have a kind of... a fictional account of how the murder would take place. Now here's the interesting thing about it. The one who's responsible for this is, as soon as you say the name, there's no reason to even guess what her motives are. Judith Reagan. So Judith Reagan was responsible for bringing this O.J. thing. Now there's a secret to this whole thing. How this came about, nobody really knows. There's a secret third person, a Mr. X or something, who got the deal together. And the thing that's interesting about it is I think Rupert Murdoch thought he could play off on the adversary and the advocate for it. I think that's what Rupert Murdoch does well. Because if you notice, he has an irreverent channel, right? An irreverent entertainment channel, which is Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? And then he has a real conservative news network. I mean, it's like the biggest double standard in the world. And I think what's I think what set this off is when O'Reilly said, he goes, okay, I want everybody to know, you got to boycott this special. Not going to watch it. Not interested in it. I think everyone should boycott it. All the sponsors. And I think that's really what set the spark off right there. I think O'Reilly has the ability to start these campaigns. It's similar to what he did with Ludacris when he had the Pepsi endorsement. And they were like,
right.
The rapper, he was like, why are you guys messing with this guy? Why? What? He's into guns or whatever he said. And he's very promiscuous and all of this. And Pepsi got, I mean, that didn't stop Pepsi from with Michael Jackson or what have you, Madonna or what have you, you know. So there's a definite thing that Fox did that they were trying to trigger this. They're trying to trigger a feedback, a ping pong match, right? And I guess it backfired.
Well, you know, I mean, O.J. has been, you know, worth his weight in gold when it comes to being a distraction from actual news. And you know, Rupert, you know, who's a dual national, you know, he's an American and an Australian citizen.
Right.
And the only reason that happened is because Reagan changed immigration law so he could become an American citizen. And that was so he could own U.S. media. Because back in the 80s, if you were not a U.S. citizen, you could not own U.S. media. And this is one of the things where I do have, you know, a bug up me bum about Clinton was, you know, the reworking of the media ownership laws in the 90s helped to also enable foreign ownership of domestic media, you know, moving it along even further. And Murdoch is playing all kinds of interesting games at the moment because just yesterday, he went and put a bid on a big portion of ITV in the UK, and controlling interest of that channel is run by what's the Virgin guy? His group.
Right.
And Murdoch recently
Branson.
Has gone and bought.
Branson.
Yeah, Branson. Yeah. Well, Murdoch is playing a spoiler.
Yeah.
With media ownership a lot, and this just kind of shows his influence. He also he's been really really vocal in the Australian media recently. On a number of issues, one about anti-American feelings in Australia and some other things. And, I mean, this guy is so political. He is so political. You know, his moves in China, we have a new set of media ownership laws coming into effect here in Australia, and he's already positioned himself to buy into, I believe it's Fairfax, who he's kind of always been after in a way, by buying an interest that would spoil anyone else from getting controlling interest. So he's making some very, very interesting and provocative moves with his money at the moment. And, you know, you cannot doubt the significance of Murdoch in the world game.
You know what's funny you say that, because check out this, so people realize this. News Corp is owned by HarperCollins. And
say again, sorry?
News Corp, the Fox organization?
Yeah.
News Corp is owned by HarperCollins.
Yeah.
So everything is all connected. Judith Regan's, the publicist is in with Fox. So my friend actually commented on this as well. He said, I think it's also one big publicity stunt, and they weren't planning to go forward with any of this. They just wanted to get a serious outrage reaction in the serious media press time for it. And I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I have to agree with you, man. And it's all, I think, to create a distraction.
You know,
and,
the book was sold also, right?
That's what I've been hearing, and you know, I mean, whether the book or the program went off, it's created a mass distraction, which I reckon that.
How can you stop that on Amazon though? They say they pulled the book, and I was wondering because they probably shipped them yesterday.
Ah, well, I don't know. You can just say we're not releasing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen that in the record industry before. You know, you have a release date, stuff ships, and then the label says, nah. For whatever reason. But you know, again, you know, here we go. The story of O.J. Simpson. He might have gotten the money, but I think Murdoch and all these other parties involved got their money's worth.
You know, the interesting thing about this, O.J. has done this before. I don't know if you know this, but he has a prank DVD out called Juice, where he goes to people's
house
and he pranks them. Like, one, he's a pizza man delivery. Another one, he's selling his white Bronco. I'm not making this up. It's like an Ashton Kutcher takeoff of Punk'd.
You know, from a man who was once a really, really, really great football player.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It's really, really
sad. You know something, John? He was always a bad actor.
Absolutely, man. No doubt about it. Hey, man, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, but
hey,
I so appreciate you ringing in.
Before I go,
the
What the Bleep Quantum Edition is out. 3 discs. I don't know if you knew that.
I've got the 5-discer here.
Oh, it has 5 discs?
Yeah, and there's actually there's the Quantum one that hasn't quite made it to Australia yet, where you can actually watch the movie in Quantum view, where it'll never play the same way twice.
That's it. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. I have the collectors. I'm waiting for the Quantum, but I have the collectors, which is 5-disc, and I'm telling you, the extras are just awesome. But David, we're ramming right up against the break. Thanks so much, mate. You're just worth your weight in gold when you ring in.
All right, no problem, John. Later.
All right, folks, we're going to hit this bottom of the hour break, and I have been informed that the man, Bob, has returned, and he'll be taking over after this break. So thanks for hanging on, and we'll see you with Foxed Up to tomorrow. Take care, folks. Bob coming up straight after this.
Wild thing, I think I love you, but I wanna know for sure. Come on, hold me tight. I love you.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Then, thank you very kindly, John Fox. I sincerely appreciate you covering that first half hour for me. You know, these things happen. Late afternoon doctor's appointment down in Charleston with our daughter, and had to turn around and make it back up then. It's kind of snowing and crappy and miserable and dark, and it takes, you know, we live up in the, you know, we're up in the hinterlands, and Charlietown's just about an hour, well, depending on the weather and the traffic, about an hour to an hour and a half away. So that's where that is, and that's what happened, and that's why I'm late, and I apologize, and please forgive me. But at any rate, there's an abundance of stuff going on both today and over the course of the weekend. And I look forward to us talking about all of it this evening. You just don't know who you're going to meet. I took our daughter down for a doctor's appointment, and lo and behold, her physician had a name that was immediately recognizable to me, and I kind of went, dang. Wonder if he's related to. And so we chatted. You know, it's inspiring because we chatted a little bit and talked about, you know, this and that. And he asked, you know, well, what do you do? That kind of thing. And I told him. And I do talk radio. And he said, Democrat or Republican? And I said, oh, Democrat. Hardcore, liberal, progressive, don't like Republicans very good, Democrat. He came rushing across the room to shake my hand. And so and we sat there and we chatted a little politics and stuff. And it was you know, a very tiny world, and you never know who you're going to run across. So it was just it was kind of fascinating. But enough of that. You know how to get involved with the program. 877-443-2366, 877 the numeral 4 head on, and email to bob@headonradio.com, of course. And I got to admit, you know, walked in the door, I got bupkis for show prep today, so you might have to help me a little bit. After having been absent on Friday, I couldn't stand the thought of being absent as well on Monday. So, you know, there's a few things in the hopper, not the least of which this, it's one of those things that makes you wonder about the priorities of a nation. Or maybe it's just the way that information is presented to the nation. I'm sure you've heard by now that Rupert Murdoch has decided, and I think it was even being discussed when I came in here, Rupert Murdoch has decided that publishing the OJ's, well, if I did turn my ex-wife into a Pez dispenser, here's how I would have done it book, and the interview. That's not such a, and they're not going to do that. But, you know, it speaks to the money-grubbing nature of Fox and Regan Books and Judith Regan, and that they thought this was a good idea in the first place. And now, of course, Fox management is out there saying, well, you know, the senior management has decided that this was not necessarily such a very good idea. You know what? If it's a bad idea now, it was a bad idea then. Right? Sure. But the thing was, when they thought there was a bunch of money to be made off of it, it was a great idea. I mean, these people at Fox, and you know, they are what they are. They're Republicans. You saw the memo a couple of weeks ago. Now that the Democrats have won control of the Congress, please be on the lookout for any insurgents in Iraq talking about how thrilled they are that the Democrats control Congress. Sleazy, ugly, nasty, rotten, filthy, sleazy, you know. And as a consequence, you can see the sleaze in the fact that they just now decided that pimping a murder isn't such a good idea anymore. You know, and you've got the falafel boy O'Reilly out there who says, did you catch this? He said, of course, Fox News Corp has nothing whatsoever to do with Fox Entertainment Channel. Liar! Fox News Corp produces news pieces all the time for Fox Entertainment Channel. Sure they do. Sure they do. So you get a sense just the level of sleaze and filth and slime that's involved with this entire process. But now it's not going to happen, right? Now O.J. Simpson is not going to be out there making his confession, because remember, Judith Regan said that she considered it a confession. Well, that's not going to happen now. Why? Well, because they decided there was more money to be made in not doing it than in doing it, right? Because they realized that they were going to face a profound backlash from the American people. Lord, I love the way people make choices in this country, but that's the front end. So, you know, the American people, the American people heard about the sleazy O.J. book deal and the sleazy Fox television interview to promote the book deal. How many people since old Thursday? How many people do you suppose have heard of Eric Kerouac? Now they've heard, you know, they heard that O.J. Simpson was going to give an interview describing how he would, that basically it was a confession. But how many Americans have heard of Eric Kerouac? Not many, I'll warrant. Eric Kerouac, not Kerouac like Jack Kerouac. That's K-E-R-O-U-A-C. This is Eric Kerouac, K-E-R-O-A-C-K. He's the appointed new chief of family of Bush administration family planning programs at the Department of Health and Human Services. Now you remember we talked. I think we mentioned it as recently as last week. The goober that was appointed over at FDA, who had written a book that told women to New Testament their PMS cramps away. And that he was subsequently divorced by his wife, who claimed in her divorce proceedings that he raped her repeatedly. And we won't go into the graphic details, although they were there. You remember the communications director, of NASA that the Bush administration appointed. The guy supposedly had a degree from Texas A&M, but it turns out he didn't have a degree at all. He didn't have a science, even if he'd had a degree, it wasn't in science, and he was tasked with running around and telling scientists to quit talking about that heathen, the unbelieving Big Bang theory and global warming and so forth. We can't be talking about that. You know, 23 years old, the kid was a complete fraud. So there's nothing new in any of this. But this is particularly offensive, and I mean, if I had a... I was about to say if I had a uterus or something like that, but that sounds a little too O.J., doesn't it? I can well imagine, and I don't have to imagine because my lovely wife, Agnes, pointed this story out to me and was apoplectic at the time she did so. So I don't really have to imagine what if. I know that at least one member of the female half of the species is profoundly pissed off at disappointment. Eric Kerouac is going to be the chief of family planning programs at the Department of Health and Human Services. You know, these are the people who are supposed to be out there explaining to children that, you know, having sex one time, once, can get you killed. Because of things like HIV, hepatitis B, something as routine and simple as pelvic inflammatory disease. Yeah, and that there are ways you can protect yourself against that through the use of... Shh, don't tell the fundies. condoms. Well, ain't gonna happen. What do you mean, Bob? Well, let's meet Eric Kerouac. He comes from a fake Christian pregnancy counseling organization. The name of it is A Woman's Concern. And he's medical director there. The group's based in Dorchester, Mass. He's going to become the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Population Affairs in the next 2 weeks. He is, in fact, and you know, I pity the poor woman who's ever been in the stirrups in front of this creep. He's an OBGYN. Maybe this is one of the guys that George Bush was talking about when he said too many of our OBGYNs can't practice their love of women on the across this great nation. Remember that? He's an OBGYN. He's going to be an advisor to Secretary Mike Leavitt on reproductive health and adolescent pregnancy. I'm all for it! Uncle Daddy! Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Because, you see, a woman's concern says that women using contraceptives is... wait for it. Have you seen this story? Did you get it? Agnes is vibrating. Distribution of contraceptives to female members of the species is, and I quote, demeaning to women. Yes, dear, you're busting, I know.
Yeah, I'm busting. How is it demeaning to a woman to keep her from becoming pregnant? Oh, I'm sorry, that's abstinence, right?
It makes her insides a rocky, a barren ground where no man's seed may take purchase.
Well, just because this guy, you know, can't copulate and make more babies doesn't mean that no one else wants to. Does he have children? Does he have girls?
You know the sad thing about this?
Does Barb and Jenna going to practice this, abstinence before marriage?
Don't take me there.
I was just curious. I mean, George appointed him.
No, I don't want to go there.
Uh-huh. Didn't think
so. No, here's the fun and creepy part. Some of these other gooberish appointments, they have to be confirmed by the Senate, but not this one. No, not this one. No Senate confirmations required. And basically, family planning is now going to be, dragged back 200 years? I've got a theory that's sort of not at full fruition in the back of my brain that I maybe we'll get into it a little bit later in the program. But this is another one of those examples of government with built-in failure. This is the government you get when you let people govern who don't like government. Does that make a little bit of sense? I hope. This is... God, this just... It makes me nuts! Can you believe this? An abstinence-only guy... And bear in mind, you know, considering the nature of us, normal people, decent people, upstanding people, people with morals, people with courage, people with brains, for us to sit here and just, you know, the first inclination is to chuckle at the abstinence weirdos and just think about how patently stupid that is, because we all remember having been teenagers once upon a time. And telling kids, you know, don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, it doesn't work, because they're gonna, the more you say don't do it, they do it. You know. Oh, but there's some precious little gems in this article from the Washington Post. The name of the organization, remember, is A Woman's Concern. This is from their website, and I quote, "A woman's concern is persuading..." Now, ladies, don't blame me. I'm just reading, okay? I'm reading what the weirdos say about you. "A woman's concern is persuaded that the crass commercialization and distribution of birth control is demeaning to women, degrading of human sexuality, and adverse to human health and happiness." The crass commercialization and distribution of birth control. Now, see, we could have a little English major moment there. I'm not concerned. Never mind me. As a guy, you know, I've been responsible for. I mean, I'm a guy. I'm responsible for condom usage, you know, if that was the situation. But they don't have a pill for guys yet. They don't have a patch for guys yet. So, help me with this. A woman's concern is persuaded. Who persuaded them? The religion industry. Brother Dobson did. Brother Dobson, who says to take your young son in the shower with you and expose yourself to him to keep him from catching a bad case of the homos, is persuaded that the crass commercialization and distribution of birth control is demeaning to women. That means what? They don't want to advertise it? Huh? Help me here. Commercialization of birth control is demeaning to women. No, you know what I think is demeaning to women? And this ties in with that quiverful bunch of weirdos that we touched on briefly last week. What is demeaning to women is the idea that a woman is only good as an incubator. Wonder how Marie Curie would have felt about that. Get away from that radium, Marie, and get back to the kitchen. You know, I wonder how, come on. Well, no, that doesn't fit. She's a guy, Ann Coulter. Laura Ingraham, who prattles away 3 hours a day behind a microphone, telling people about the benefits of conservatism and republicanism. Wonder how she feels knowing that she's according to A Woman's Concern, she is only fit to throw eggs every 28 days. I'm actually physically afraid of Agnes right now. She is sublimely pissed off. I mean, she's sitting there doing it, you know, making little noises and stuff, and quivering, just a quiverful. No, wrong.
Wrong thing.
And of course, over at the Health and Human Services Department, Kerouac is described as, quote, "a highly qualified and well-respected physician working primarily with women and girls in crisis."
Oh, you mean where he counsels the ladies who are going to have abortions by taking ultrasounds of the fetus and then showing it to them and explaining to them how they're going to murder their babies?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's great.
The group helps, this is a woman's concern. This is another one of those faith-based initiatives that the Bush administration is so damn fond of. The group helps women in unplanned pregnancies, but discourages abortions. Is that what they're doing there, discouraging an abortion?
No, it's psychological torture.
Well, yeah, but that discourages the abortion. And the crass commercialization. So, you know, we can't have the crass commercialization of birth control, but at the same time, we discourage abortions. What is it? Calling Margaret Atwood A Handmaid's Tale? You've read the book, right? Sure. The group helps women in unplanned pregnancies, but discourages abortions. He said the decision is the woman's, but we do not want to give her the opportunity to have all the information and the support. But we do want to. I'm sorry, I almost made that say something they didn't mean to say, or maybe they did. We do want to give her the opportunity to have all the information and the support necessary to choose life. Jesus, this group affiliated with George Michael? And the big white T-shirt with the black letters, Choose Life? Or was that Frankie Goes to Hollywood? No, that was Relax. Yeah, okay. Oh, my God. The National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association, Interim President Marilyn Keefe, is vibrating worse than Agnes is. She says that Kerouac's work, quote, seems to really be geared toward furthering anti-choice, anti-contraception policies. Because, see, the one thing I've tried to get across somewhere along the way is that it's not really Roe v. Wade that these weirdos are after. No, 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 no. It's Griswold versus Connecticut. It's Griswold versus Connecticut that established a woman's right to choose to use birth control. And it is Griswold versus Connecticut that they truly want to strike down, because this is not about ending abortion. This is about sending women back to the kitchen. This is about sexual. I mean, come on, you know, we're the guys in this discussion. We're you know, not sexual Neanderthals. We understand that. And see, we don't feel an urge to lord it over women to make ourselves, you know, to make ourselves feel better. We also don't feel an urge to go out and buy a Hummer because of certain pelvic shortcomings, shall we say. But you see, the entire Republican Party is one great big hang-up. And their hang-up is profoundly sexual. These people, these Republican men, can't feel good about themselves without trampling on a woman or someone otherwise weaker than them. Women, children, you know, the minute men are terrified of Mexican women who scrub toilets for $3 an hour. So while this story stands alone as something heinous and rotten and filthy and vile, it's only part of a larger piece. You see what I mean? So we got that going for us this evening. This is Head On. Jump in the join in the program if you want to right after the news. 877-443-2366. 877 the numeral 4 Head On. Email to bob@headonradio.com. We'll be right back. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Escalating violence in Iraq has gotten so bad that the country's defense minister has declared Iraq in a state of civil war. Today, 48 Iraqis were killed in sectarian violence. Cabinet ministers, media personnel, even the country's most beloved comedian have been attacked. This is the deadliest month for Iraqi civilians since April 2005. 1,370 people have died. The Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a review commissioned by Joint Chief of Staff General Peter Pace. The first is to deploy more troops. The second is to reduce troops but stay longer in Iraq. The third is an entire pullout. In London, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said victory in the Iraq war is no longer possible. He also said the U.S. must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. Iran has invited Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. In Huntsville, Alabama, a school bus accident today has killed three teenage girls. 30 students were injured, seven of them critically. The bus reportedly plunged more than 30 feet off an interstate. In India, at least eight people were killed today following a bomb explosion on a passenger plane. 60 others were injured. In Berlin, 33 people were injured when a commuter train rear-ended a maintenance vehicle today. Two passengers are in critical condition. In Costa Rica, U.S. Coast Guard reports it seized 3.5 tons of cocaine bound to America from Colombia. Four were arrested. Two Colombians, a Guatemalan, and a Sri Lankan. In Ohio, a prominent GOP fundraiser has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. Thomas Noe, who claimed he invested in Ohio's Workmen's Compensation Fund, was convicted for theft, corruption, and forgery in connection with the sale of rare coins. In Santa Monica, an elderly man who killed 10 people and injured 63 after driving his car through a farmer's market will not serve prison time. The 89-year-old man received probation. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hugh Heiser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
An environmental group in New England is teaming up with World Wildlife Fund Canada to recommend marine reserves be created in the Northwest Atlantic Ocean from Cape Cod to Nova Scotia. The goal is to protect marine life and habitat. Oregon Steel Mills will be acquired by Russian steelmaker Evraz for $2.3 billion. The combined company will produce approximately 17 million tons of crude steel annually. Russia is one step closer to joining the World Trade Organization. The U.S. and Russia signed a bilateral agreement yesterday. The move removes the final obstacle to Russia's 13-year quest to join the WTO. Yahoo is forming a partnership with 176 daily newspapers, sharing content, advertising, and technology. The first part of the deal will include posting of online classified want ads. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.98 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 26 points at 12,316. The NASDAQ was up 7 points at 2452. The S&P 500 was down 1 at 1400. Gold traded at $623 an ounce on NYMEX, silver at $12.78. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Anna.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's Monday. And I think I've got my sea legs under me now. Let's go to the phone. Our good friend Susan is joining us from Columbia City, Oregon. And, Susan, welcome to the program. I hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, I did.
And then I came along and ruined it.
Well, let me put it this way. If it weren't against my religion, I would be doing something really, really obnoxious to that dude right about now.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be a thing he could do to stop me, because what I do works. and you know what my religion is,
yes,
too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I am old enough that I can remember what happens to a woman when she's desperate enough and stymied enough to use a hanger on herself.
Yeah, I know.
And for this guy to come along and say it's demeaning, I got news for him. The only thing I can think of, you know what immediately popped into my head?
What's that?
Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah.
Now that's a lady to admire.
Well, this, like I said, it's just more of the same, Susan. These people make me crazy.
Personally, I think part besides wanting to keep the little lady barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, I think they see the U.S. population drifting closer and closer to zero population growth, and they're worried about their shock troops.
Well, that's what that Quiverful article from Alternet that I was talking about last week basically said.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are women who are being told to stay home, and if you're not pregnant, you're doing something wrong. I mean, we're talking about 35-year-old women with 14 kids.
Oh, my God.
And there are thousands of them, and they are being told by their so-called ministers that they are literally... Well, there was a program in... I'm gonna destroy the conversation now, Susan. There was a program in Nazi Germany called the Lebensborn.
Yes, I know of it.
SS officers were sent to breed with various German women, and they're still coming to terms with it. There was some sort of a meeting or a convention or something in the last month or so about it.
Yeah, we're known as Goering's children.
Okay. Well, this is that.
Yeah.
This is the idea, because they are literally planning, they are trying to breed an army that will come along and take, say, you know, my progeny or my grandchildren, well, they're progeny, and overwhelm them with their religiosity.
Horse crap.
You know, I don't mean to sound too sexist here, but I'm thinking if you got an organization called A Woman's Concern, shouldn't the medical director be, I mean, last I checked, Harvard Medical School, UMass, and all kinds of medical schools up and down the East Coast, turning out all kinds of female doctors these days.
Yeah, you would think so.
Couldn't A Woman's Concern find a female doctor to address A Woman's Concern?
Well, I've always, the one thing about the Right to Life movement that has always struck me, you know, the anti-abortion movement, which, let's face it, 99% of the Right to Life movement concerns women. Okay, why is it the 99% of the Right to Life movement is men?
Yeah, well I've addressed these guys, you know, standing there in their polyester leisure suits on the sidewalk protesting. Hey, dude, when did you grow a uterus?
Yeah. I don't see these dudes getting pregnant. When they get pregnant, I'll listen to them. Until then, don't bother me. I've got a daughter, and that means I have a right to speak up. Those dudes don't. Oh, and by the way, Would you care for a little piece of gossip?
Sure.
You understand about small towns, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anything that somebody does in the small town, everybody knows about.
It's a little tiny pond, and it doesn't take long for the ripples to reach all the sides of it.
Okay. I got a friend who lives just outside of, wait for it, Crawford, Texas.
Yeah.
Do you remember when one of the Bush daughters a while back had appendicitis?
Yeah, some appendicitis, I'll bet you.
It wasn't appendicitis. She had an abortion.
Yeah, that appendix probably had two arms, two legs, and a head, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
See, I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, there are 1,001 scenarios that I can come up with off the top of my head right now, Susan, in which either George or Laura or both of them would be screaming, you know, get that thing out of her.
Yeah, the thing that really, really ticks me off about this whole thing, this whole movement, is the people, okay, say this, you know, the one, you know, the people that this will affect the most are the poor women.
Well, sure. Absolutely.
Their daughters, if they go out and get themselves knocked up, it's off to Europe for a nice, quiet, discreet abortion.
Yeah.
Which nobody...
Well, see, and it's the children, too. It's bad enough. I guess it was, maybe a year or so ago, one of our children brought home this parental release form that we had to sign in order for our child to be involved in any teaching. We're not talking about sex education class.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about basic biology teaching about, you know, this is a fallopian tube. That over there is the vas deferens.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to opt out of that. And that's the way, it's that way in many states where fundamentalist religion industry people have gotten hold of things. You know, you can keep your child from being taught basic biological science, and you can certainly keep your child from being taught about information that would prevent them from getting killed by sex.
Yeah, and it's just, I want to thump some people, I really do. I'm not supposed to be doing that, but I really start. I have real anger issues.
But Susan, we're so not done yet. I'm looking at a paper right now by this Eric J. Kerouac, M.D. Facog, called The Neuroendocrine and Biochemical Basics. You know your science some. The Neuroendocrine and Biochemical Basics of Human Sexuality, The Results of Non-Marital Sexual Activity. In which he argues, he starts off with cartoons by Gary Larson.
Yeah.
And he puts forward this theory that sexual promiscuity, how would you put this, Agnes? That sexual promiscuity, he says it is not all about protection from STDs and unintended pregnancy. The resulting psychosocial effects can require a lot of time to heal. Premarital sex is really modern germ warfare.
Oh, give me a break.
And he's got charts and bar graphs and color 8x10 glossies with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one.
Mm-hmm.
African Americans have higher HSV infection rates than whites, but in the past 8 years, HSV has increased 400% in white teens and 200% in white individuals in their 20s.
Yeah, and you want to know where the highest STD rates have come from?
Where's that?
Young, religious, born again teenagers who have taken a virginity pledge, because nobody's bothered to tell them that anal intercourse is not sex, so they gleefully go at it. Oral sex is not sex to them, so they gleefully go at it and end up with AIDS.
No, I know. I caught an episode of The Family Guy last night, where the teenagers were out having ear sex because they'd been part of an abstinence pledge crusade.
Yeah. And they don't understand that, you know, anal sex is still sex.
Sure.
And you can still end up with AIDS from it.
Well, this guy says that only sexual abstinence can short-circuit a hormonal cause and effect that leads to relationship failure. There's a poster with Bugs Bunny. So what's up with this whole oxytocin thing, Doc?
Yeah.
Dear God. I mean, they're claiming that oxytocin. God, I can't even make this work well enough in my own head to express it, Susan. I kind of wish I had Dr. Richard Sloan on again so I could ask him about some of this insanity. This is the kind of thing that he was talking about in his book Blind Faith when he was talking about what happens to science when it gets married up to the weirdness that is religion.
Yeah, you can find the same thing in the work of a gentleman by the name of Mengele.
Yeah. Well, check this out, okay? This is Kerouac's argument. He says oxytocin is released during positive social interaction, massage, hugs, trust encounters, and sexual intercourse. Quote, it promotes bonding by reducing fear and anxiety in social settings, increasing trust and trustworthiness, reducing stress and pain, and decreasing social aggression.
Well, in that case, a good way to derail him is that you just come right out and ask, does that include masturbation?
Oh, my God.
Watch him short circuit right on the spot.
You know, this guy is a darling of Focus on the Family.
Uh-huh, and he's an idiot.
Yeah, he is.
Same medical, I don't care what kind of degrees he's got. He's got the same medical credentials and the same medical ethics as Mengele. The only difference being Mengele had a whole concentration camp full of people he could experiment on.
Well, you know, the thing is, these people are looking forward to experimenting with their abstinence programs on our friends, our neighbors, our children.
That's another thing I would dearly love to see the Democratic Congress take care of, is that whole faith-based thing.
Well, but there's some of this stuff. Don't get too worked up waiting for a lot of that stuff to happen, because there are people out there who say that the Democrats taking back the House and Senate only happened because we put we put faithful Democrats up against corrupt Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this it's scary. This is honest to God scary.
They're trying to put their own spin on it. They cannot, because they can't swallow the fact they got themselves fucked.
You know, this guy argues that damage to the hippocampus leads to pornography.
Oh.
And that the hippocampus is a superior, has a superior region, and it's a bonding center of the brain. And it's just astonishing.
It's just barely enough truth in that to make the gullible swallow it.
Well, yeah, there is truth. There is a hippocampus.
Yeah, and that's just about all there is.
And there is pornography.
Yeah.
But everything in the middle?
Nothing.
It's just made up.
Yeah, they made it all up.
And it goes on and on and on. You know, the $2.1 million that's being spent on, people pray, I don't care, you know, pray. It's harmless, you know.
But it isn't going to make you any better either.
But $2.1 million to find out if a bunch of people sitting holding hands, singing Kumbaya and staring at their navels can make a brain tumor shrink? I mean, do we really need to spend money to find out that it can't?
Not when we have children in this country who aren't going to bed hungry.
No, they're not hungry anymore, Susan. Remember,
I don't do double speak. They're hungry.
Yeah, they are. They're food resource challenged.
I don't care what the government calls it. They're hungry.
And if I was hungry and ye fed me, and I was, yeah.
And it's just like a lot of the people, including me, were not financially challenged. We're poor.
Yeah, I know.
And that's name and acting.
And, well, see, that's the little theory that I got banging around in my brain. I think there's more than just the simple greed and graft and corruption involved with this, with the Iraq War, for instance. There's a reason for bankrupting government. We took a lot of government, you know, your money, our money. Dear leader said, "Grant, your money," and he proceeded to give our money away to his buddies.
Yeah.
Okay. And he did it sufficiently that he's created a deficit that we will be a generation paying off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, during that generation, I mean, that, some of these really evil SOBs, Susan. They do. They play chess. They think things through. They think about consequences. They realize they would get filthy, stinking, dirty rich off of Iraq while Iraq bled and screamed and cried and died. But they realized something else. Because they hate government so much, because they hate the idea of a responsive government, because they hate the idea of a government that is made up of people like you and me acting on behalf of other yous and me's, because they hate that so much, by creating this god-awful war and the god-awful debt that follows on its heels as they bled out our treasury to their pals and their buddies and their cronies, they made sure that the argument will always be there. Well, we can't have universal health care. We can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring our public schools up to snuff. We're going to have to kill the public school system. We can't afford it.
We can't have the New Deal. We can't afford it.
Right. Because they have put us in a financial position that could arguably said to be worse than the Great Depression.
Well, there is a way to get around that. If you wanted to be really radical, one could always nationalize their fortunes. Mm-hmm. See how it's like that.
But see, that requires a lot of backbone that we're not ready to show yet.
Well,
because we're working on 08.
Yeah.
And I was going down the road today. You know, I don't know if you ever look at the map or anything, but it's about 50 miles from here to Charleston, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And the only talk radio that's on
is Rush.
Is Flush. And he's working on 08.
Oh yeah. And he is drooling over the thought of getting his hooks in the Hillary.
And he is, and he was having an absolutely palandial fit today over Charlie Rangel suggesting that that the draft might be a good idea. Now I loathe the idea of draft. I hate a draft so much that I'm not even willing to have it for the possible beauty of sending Bob Corker's daughters and the Bush twins to Iraq. It's not worth it to me because it means that people I know and love and care about are going to get thrown into that meat grinder too.
Yeah.
So I oppose the draft. But at one point he said he was talking about Charlie Rangel. He said, "And you know what? Charlie Rangel needs to do what I did." And I was on a bridge over the Kanawha River at that point in time, and I almost drove off the bridge because I realized Charlie Rangel is a veteran, I believe, of Korea. Correct me if I'm wrong, someone. Whereas Flush Flimball missed the draft with a festering, open, boilish pimple on his hind end. And he said, "I went to Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and I met the troops there. And they told me they volunteered out of patriotism."
Yeah, but I didn't see you there, Rush.
Well, Rush is lying. Rush has never been to Walter Reed. That's the difference between right-wing blather and what we're doing here and what's being done in other liberal quarters, whether it's Tom Hartman or Mike Malloy. These are people who actually do what they say. They don't just get behind a microphone and start making crap up.
Yeah, I figure if Rush is like Bush, if his mouth is moving, he's lying.
Yeah.
It's automatic.
So, you know, hearing him say, no. Rush need not give anybody advice about how to deal with a draft issue. He really needs not to be talking about the issue on his show at all.
Yeah, especially considering he's a draft dodger.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't, you know, I don't care how you did it. You didn't have to go to Canada to be a draft dodger. If you got five deferments and the fifth deferment you got because you finally got your wife pregnant, like in the case of Dick Cheney,
mm-hmm.
or if you got if you got yourself out of the draft with a festuring infected, go read the definition of polyandrial cyst. It's just not pretty. Yeah. Whatever you did, if your daddy got you into the Texas Air National Guard, you dodged the draft.
Yeah. It's one thing if you stood up and said, no, I'm not going to go. I refuse to go because this war is wrong.
Yeah.
I can respect people who did that, especially people like Muhammad Ali, who said, no, I'm not going to go, even if you throw me in jail, and then they threw him in jail, and he said, fine.
Yeah, I got no gripe with the Vietnamese people.
He went to jail. He stood up for his beliefs. I respect him for that. I do not respect George Bush or Rush or anybody like that because they hid.
Right. They didn't stand up and oppose it. And, you know, remember when George Bush went to Harvard for his MBA after he dodged out of his guard service, his professor later remarked that he really found George to be obnoxious because he would stand up and talk about how we were doing the right thing in Vietnam when he had been unwilling to go in his own right.
Yeah.
So I understand what motivates the likes of Charlie Rangel to put forward an idea like this draft, but It's not worth it.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the Bush girl go, but I would.
Even for them, I will oppose the draft.
Yeah, I won't. No, but it would be nice to see the Bush girls go.
Yeah, and the Corker girls. You know, they're the Bush girls' replacement.
Yeah, if they're going to say, you know, we love this war so much, fine, send their kids. Don't send some poor black kids in the ghetto who don't really want to go.
Exactly. Exactly.
And don't tell some poor kid who's already got five or six kids that she has to have five or six more. Unless you're willing to feed those kids. No, of course you're not.
No, no, no. See, we can't afford that, Susan.
Well, in that case.
See, we've got this deficit. We can't afford food.
Well, in that case, then you can't afford those kids. Bring on the birth control.
Yeah, a woman's concern, indeed.
A woman's concern is her right to her own body. And if they think they're going after that law, they've never seen anything compared to this.
Nope, not at all. Susan, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and you have a good evening.
Going to try. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bottom of the hour break, so we take the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 877-443-2366. I apologize if I'm a little bit addled. Some of this stuff just makes my brains feel like they're going to come loose and rattle around in my skull. This is, however, the Head On Radio Network, and addled or not, I'm Bob Kincaid.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed three brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, one-third of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
1 + 1 = 2. Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze. Always talk quietly in the library.
If you're going to be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
I never knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. That's how it's got to be. It's coming down to nothing more than apathy. I'd rather run the other way than stay and see.
Twenty-six minutes before the hour, I'm Bob. I just posted into the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com the PDF file of this nutbag's theory of sexual promiscuity and its dangers, including such brilliant phrases as in discussing the effects. Estrogen is responsible for setting the thermostat that controls neurochemical receptor reactivity. In menopause, the setting is low. Next to a picture of a household furnace thermostat by Honeywell, mind you. In menopause, the setting is low. In pregnancy, the setting is high. In PMS, it is short-circuited! Dear, I think that may explain why the heat pump's acting up outside. Yeah, you're number one with me too, babe. Let's go to the phones. Phil is calling from Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Pretty good, I reckon.
Great. Always a treat to hear the conversation on the horn. I did have a few thoughts about Rangel bringing up the draft, and I'm in agreement with you, Bob, that I don't want to see the draft. I understand Rangel bringing it up in that, you know, to shine light on the inequity of this whole fiasco here.
Mm-hmm.
Who's spilling the blood and who's bringing in the stock dividends at a lower tax rate, you know, on the corporate war profiteering. But one thing concerns me is that the Selective Service really got geared up a year or two ago.
I remember that,
country.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it is in place, man. And the PNAC plan is still on track. The initial plan was invade Iraq, stay there on a permanent basis, build bases so as to launch further attacks on Iran and Syria,
mm-hmm.
and enrich the military-industrial complex in doing so. And regardless of whether it's a quagmire or if it's a, you know, plan gone bad or whatever, put that aside, and we're still on track as far as the PNAC plan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've just about... And Phil, something happens. I think about these things, and, you know, I'm generally... It's Agnes and me sitting here discussing these sorts of things, and we look at each other wondering if we have just gone completely insane, because I've about come to the conclusion that like I was talking with Susan, this war has added benefits because it's a way to break the government and make sure that the government can never be called on to do any of those liberal social programs like feeding babies.
Boy, it's taken care of a lot of things that these guys have had on their wish list.
And frankly, I think they don't give a tinker's damn if they set off an entire the regional conflict. You know what they would like best, I think, if you get them quiet and alone and you know a little bit of brown liquor into them, they'll tell you, Phil, that if Syria and Iran, Syria backs. Sunnis and Iran backs Shia. If they could make Iraq the bloody staging ground for an all out internecine all Arab war against itself, it would be the best thing they ever imagined.
Damn good for business.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what bothers me, Bob, is that to this very day, the PNAC players are not identified as such. You know, William Crystal always on the TV. I mean, you know, the whole PNAC crew, and he's always identified as the, you know, the editor of the Weekly Standard. He's the chairman of the Project for the New American Century. And
the
only media person I've seen identify him as such in 5 years of is that fella on Comedy Central and what's his Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
And he called him out on the PNAC, and Crystal's face turned as red as a tomato, you know, and that's the extent of it. I think I really think that the PNAC folks are still in charge. Cheney, Rumsfeld, okay, he's out of his job there, but you know, you got Kissinger in there, and now Kissinger, they pulled the curtain back, and there he is, and we seem to be okay with it. You know what I mean? You know, they pulled the curtain back, and here's Kissinger. Now he's on front page, and he's a legitimate advisor now, and this country seems to be okay with that. I think we really need to start naming these SOBs as PNAC players, every single one of them, and they're all John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Stephen Hadley,
John Negroponte.
Negroponte, okay. You know, Iran Contra killers. You know,
well, that's what it is. The project. If you look, there's a whole lot of the Project for a New American Century that is just the, it's just the 10-year reunion of the Iran Contra Club.
Yes, you know, the media is supposed to be pointing this out, but they're not, and we've been fooled once. You know, I'm going to say it correctly, hopefully, and not do a Bush on this. Fool once, you know, shame on me. Shame on.
See, it's hard, isn't it?
There you
and
go.
You thought George Bush was stupid.
Yeah, right. We've been fooled once now with it, thinking that the media is going to do its job. To think now that they're going to do their job, that's shame on us. We've got to be the media. I've been reaching out to Frontline, asking them to do an expose on the PNAC players. Name them, you know, out them. And they did a great program on Cheney and Rumsfeld back in June, which anyone can watch online at the pbs.org/frontline. It's called the program was called The Dark Side, and it detailed the Rumsfeld-Cheney relationship going back to the Ford administration when they hijacked that White House.
Yeah.
They hide, you know, these guys, this ain't the first time they've taken over a White House.
Oh, no. And they were, you know, they were younger then, and, you know, the Rumsfeld and Cheney were fresh from the feet of the master, you know, sitting down there at Richard Nixon's knee, right there with checkers. And they learned so much evil, and that's, you know, whether you call it the Project for a New American Century or you call it Iran-Contra, you know, there is speculation out there, and I don't mean by me, if Congress gets all uppity and starts passing things that resemble the Boland Amendments, you remember those? That's what got Iran-Contra started. Because the Boland Amendment said that the federal government could not supply monetary support to the Contras. So that's what, that, you know, that's, and it was in an effort to get around that they started making deals with, here's a blast from the past name, Manoushehr Gorbanifar.
Mm.
And, you know, gathering up all this funding, this independent funding, for the Nicaraguan Contras and selling arms to Iranians and did all of that filthy, filthy, illegal garbage.
Needless to say, the cocaine that landed on U.S. streets to, you know,
Well, right. And the thing is, what has just, the story that I read, it was in Cy Hirsch's column from The New Yorker, the one that's coming up next.
Oh, yes.
Where he said there was a meeting and Cheney was there, and they asked, you know, what if funding for the war gets cut off? And instead, and this just goes to show you what a prattling, old, evil idiot Cheney is. He started to... Well, you know, back when I was a lineman for the power company in Wyoming, and tells this story about having to take back waste wire so they would cut it in half to keep from having and do the paperwork and stuff.
Yeah.
And the upshot of all of that was, even if Congress cuts off the funding, the Bush administration is going to fund the war in Iraq anyway.
Yes, and so shame on us for thinking that what should be will be, you know. So we should know by now. And that I want to get back to the PNAC for a second, if
yeah,
you don't
ahead.
Mind. The PNAC, the project, you know, their September 2000 white paper that is available for all to see, and names the players, names the plan, even the, you know, page 51. You know, we're not going to pull this off unless. Quickly, unless we have a you know, a new Pearl Harbor, and, you know, a year later 9/11 happens, but the thing is, this is something that we as Americans can start, as far as us being the media, we can take this and put it, package it in a way that the average American can handle it, like on one sheet of paper.
Look. Mm-hmm.
These guys, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, all of, you know, the players, they said this September 2001, the Strategy for America Defense, is whatever the heck it was called, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gist of the plan was, one, invade Iraq. Two, set up a permanent military presence. Three, launch further attacks against Iran and Syria. You know, and I think if we can take this manageable message to our fellows, you know, and really get, you know, like after DowningStreet.org has flyers on the Downing Street Minutes, and they're able to, like, put it in a package of, you know, the Downing Street Minutes said this, that, and the other thing, you know, it's an impeachable offense, lied, should be impeached, whatever, you know, lied about the war. And that is, like, a manageable message that people can absorb, you know, and I really think an effort needs to be made to out the PNAC guys. They're right out, like I said earlier, the curtains, they pulled the curtain. These guys are out front and center. It's just nobody's calling them on it, you know? And if we can get this, because the PNAC plan is what's happening, regardless of funding for the war, Democrats are in majority, Republicans are majority, the plan is going forward. You just mentioned Cheney's comments in the Cy Hirsch article. These guys don't give a damn. They're the ones calling the shots, and the plan is moving along.
And if I understood my reading of PNAC correctly, Phil, part of that has to do with something I mentioned a little bit ago, and that is if they can get the Arab world into a full-on internal conflagration, that will suit their purposes fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't manage the petroleum resources effectively if you're tied up in a war. And that makes it easier to come in and steal.
And the war continues, the funding for they just asked for $160 billion supplemental, the latest on Iraq. $160 billion, that's double of what they've ever asked for so far in the last three, 4 years, right?
Yeah, that's just for fiscal 2007.
Exactly, and that one of the biggest things, the top 10, the top 5 items on the PNAC list was to dramatically increase military spending. And you want to increase military spending, you have a military conflict to spend on. You know, the last thing, and to think that these Democrats that are in there now are going to not going to play ball with these guys? I mean, they're all invested in it. It really, change is not going to come from the people that are in the 435-member Congress right now. It changes. If we're going to save lives, it's got to be us people. We've got to make the change. And I think we really could have an effect if we started educating each other very simply about the PNAC. It's a very simple message, and it's the base message. It's what, when you push everything aside, this is what has happened and is happening and will continue to happen, is this very simple plan. Invade Iraq, check. Permanent presence,
check.
Check. 14 military bases there now, you know, and now they're beating the drums for Iran, you know.
And Syria.
And Rumsfeld, one last thing. I'll shut up.
No, you're doing fine. Don't sweat it.
Two last things, then. the Rumsfeld's pet project, and Myers, too, by the way, was the big spending on the space defense program, right? The Star Wars thing they wanted, which really is a weapon. It's an offensive, you know, destroy from space. And anyway... 9/11, they got funding, they got Congress to fund that thing like the day after 9/11, by the way, you know, and 9/11 happened on Myers and Rumsfeld's watch, let's remember that too. Another good tool is these DVDs, where people don't read, people are conditioned to watch and have information.
Yeah.
You know, it's where we are now. So the DVDs, we can use this, still manipulated where good could come out of it. These DVDs are so helpful, and one is called hijackingcatastrophe.org.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the film is Hijacking Catastrophe, but that's
right.
Where you get it. and it talks all about the PNAC and makes it very simple, and you could spread that around like the 9/11 truth. Their movement has spread by leaps and bounds by using these DVDs, you know. It just kills me, Bob. I look in the paper and I turn on the television and here's Bill Kristol or Stephen Hadley.
Yeah, being held up as someone worthy of respect.
Yeah, and they're on. Instead of being behind bars, they're saying what we should do next. Yet is what I'm saying. Here these guys are, and they're the ones who created it in the first place. So they're, you know, we may have, you know, Iraq's going bad. It's not a problem for them.
No, it's frankly good, bad, or indifferent. It all works out in their favor. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes, I'm with you, Bob.
And the light just kind of went on for me this weekend. There's so much of this because, again, it's about making a buck for your buddies because they're going to take care of you when you're out of office, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's that part of it. And there's the general negative effect it has on any sort of responsiveness on the form of on government, on the part of government. My God, anybody who thinks that there's not a relationship between, for instance, our response to Katrina and our involvement in Iraq is either drugged or stupid. They're part of the same piece, Phil.
Yeah.
We couldn't respond appropriately to Katrina because we had tied up all of our resources in Iraq, and that is exactly how these bastards want it.
And I could go on about Katrina and not only not able, but they didn't want to. You know, that's a whole... They knew about Katrina. You know, again, they're taking care of their buddies. They knew that these levees were going to break. They were warned 48 hours. You know, they even had that video where the
president was in the meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and they're telling them, you know, 40. You know, somebody taped it. Who wasn't? He probably lost his job or whatever. But it came out, and that president was warned. I hate calling the guy the president.
Yeah, it sort of sticks in your craw, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know. But I mean, even then, you know, that they knew, hey, this is perfect. Everything is, it's a land grab. They were actually, getting back to, if we can do something here, if the listeners, if it's so hard to go up against these guys, but if we educate each other and try things that work and say what didn't work and what's working, get on the PNAC. Get on this very simple message. PNAC is the plan, has been since day one, still is in motion, and let's educate everybody about the PNAC and the PNAC players.
That's the thing that kind of blows me away, Phil. Kissinger screwed up Vietnam, which, I mean, there was no way to get Vietnam right except to get out. But, you know, he made it worse with his carpet bombing and his secret bombings of Cambodia and Laos. He's a loser. Henry Kissinger is a straight-up loser, okay? If you were to, I mean, I don't know what other analogy you... If a guy coached in the NFL and lost every game he ever coached for 5 years running and then came back in year six and the people said, hey, you know, let's rehire him, that's Kissinger.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost big time in Vietnam, and somehow or another he comes back around, and, you know, he's 82, 83, you know, years old, whatever. He's got a painting of Dorian Gray in a closet somewhere, and suddenly he's an elder statesman, and he's worthy of respect because he's still breathing out and breathing in again after. He's a loser.
And he's also an evil war criminal.
Yeah.
With the blood of hundreds of thousands of people on his hands.
Yeah, if not millions.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, there's people dying while this...
Yeah, where Henry Kissinger's concerned, if I had my druthers, I'd just turn him over to the people of Chile and have done with it.
Right, and you know, there's another thing, Bob, you and I know this, but I was talking to my mother earlier, I forget that there's been 30 years that have gone by between now and then. And there's a whole generation of people that don't even know this, the history of Vietnam and Kissinger, or even Central America in the 80s, you know? And I take that for granted sometimes, that we really do have an obligation. We really have our work cut out here. There's a lot of educating we have to do.
Yeah.
That's a part I overlook sometimes in my frustration. Is these people don't seem to care. And then, well, of course, they don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to care about something you don't even know exists.
Yes.
You know, I mean, obviously, the American people can get all kinds of up in arms. The O.J. Simpson story proves that, Phil.
Mm.
You know, we are, I mean, and rightfully so. That is the sleaziest, nastiest little moment, I think, ever, and it's saying something because it's Fox. But mm-hmm. That is Fox's absolute nastiest, sleaziest broadcast moment, or journalistic moment, or whatever you want to call it. The idea that they would help O.J. Simpson to profit a little bit more out of the one of the most grotesque and heinous murders in recent memory, high profile wise. And the American people stood up and said, ick!
Yeah.
You know, the American people have the ability to comprehend things when, as you say, it is done in such a way as to make it comprehensible in the first place.
Yes. And we've got to... The curtain's drawn already. All it is going to take is for folks like, you know, yourself and you're doing it, obviously, but others here out in the listening audience, you know, say, you know, that when that guy William Crystal comes on the TV as a pundit, or Stephen Hadley, the NSA NSC security advisor, John Bolton or whatever, you know, folks listening out there say, hey, did you know Bolton was a director of the PNAC? Oh, really? What's the peanut? You didn't know about
the
peanut?
Yeah, and there's your opening.
Exactly. We have to start being the media, and we have to start naming this peanut. It's for whatever reason, it just has not. It's still getting a pass, and it is the driving force of this whole mess we've been in for the past 5-6 years, and you know, 9/11's a whole nother thing, but. But dig it, man. You know, these guys had this plan going in. They wrote about it in September of 2000, and 9/11, which was their ticket to paradise, so to speak, happened on their watch. You know, and I think it all needs to be looked at.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Phil, good talking to you. We got to hit our top of the hour, but
yes.
Call in any time. I appreciate all your thoughts, and I think you're right. And there's a little bit of optimism in what you say, because everything you say is posited on the idea that the American people can be made aware of this and can comprehend it and will act morally and accordingly once we've done so.
Yes, and those of you who just listened, get it out there, PNAC. Let's get it going now.
Good job. Thanks,
Phil.
Thank
you, Bob.
Take care.
You too.
It really does fall to us, doesn't it? And by us, I don't mean all the hosts on the horn. I mean all of us. However, you share your time doing a show, listening to a show, calling a show, emailing a show. You're here because you care. You're here because you're sick to death of the pablum and the garbage that is shoveled down the gaping cultural maw of the American people. And you want something else. You want better. I'm on board with Phil. PNAC matters. Identifying the thugs and the crooks and the killers matters. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Stop the war, because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm fed up with the Christian wrong.
This is the Quality News Network. Escalating violence in Iraq has gotten so bad that the country's defense minister has declared Iraq in a state of civil war. Today, 48 Iraqis were killed in sectarian violence. Cabinet ministers, media personnel, even the country's most beloved comedian have been attacked. This is the deadliest month for Iraqi civilians since April 2005. 1,370 people have died. The Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a review commissioned by Joint Chief of Staff General Peter Pace. The first is to deploy more troops. The second is to reduce troops but stay longer in Iraq. The third is an entire pullout. In London, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said victory in the Iraq war is no longer possible. He also said the U.S. must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. Iran has invited Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. In Huntsville, Alabama, a school bus accident today has killed three teenage girls. 30 students were injured, seven of them critically. The bus reportedly plunged more than 30 feet off an interstate. In India, at least 8 people were killed today following a bomb explosion on a passenger plane. 60 others were injured. In Berlin, 33 people were injured when a commuter train rear-ended a maintenance vehicle today. 2 passengers are in critical condition. In Costa Rica, U.S. Coast Guard reports it seized 3.5 tons of cocaine bound to America from Colombia. 4 were arrested, 2 Colombians, a Guatemalan, and a Sri Lankan. In Ohio, a prominent GOP fundraiser has been sentenced to 18 years in prison. Thomas Noe, who claimed he invested in Ohio's Workmen's Compensation Fund, was convicted for theft, corruption, and forgery in connection with the sale of rare coins. In Santa Monica, an elderly man who killed 10 people and injured 63 after driving his car through a farmer's market will not serve prison time. The 89-year-old man received probation. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Hugh Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
An environmental group in New England is teaming up with World Wildlife Fund Canada to recommend marine reserves be created in the Northwest Atlantic Ocean from Cape Cod to Nova Scotia. The goal is to protect marine life and habitat. Oregon Steel Mills will be acquired by Russian steelmaker Evraz for $2.3 billion. The combined company will produce approximately 17 million tons of crude steel annually. Russia is one step closer to joining the World Trade Organization. The U.S. and Russia signed a bilateral agreement yesterday. The move removes the final obstacle to Russia's 13-year quest to join the WTO. Yahoo is forming a partnership with 176 daily newspapers, sharing content, advertising, and technology. The first part of the deal will include posting of online classified want ads. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.98 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 26 points at 12,316. The NASDAQ was up 7 points at 2452. The S&P 500 was down 1 at 1400. Gold traded at $623 an ounce on NYMEX, silver at $12.78. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Anna.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
5.5 minutes past the hour. This final hour of tonight's, or today's, this Monday edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And if you want to get involved with the program, you know how. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4. Head On. A quick email coming in here with regard to Phil's urging people to sort of work on educating people about PNAC. He says, you got to get the current generation up to speed. He says, remember the caller back in the bad old terrestrial radio days that was, by his own branding, a good conservative, but felt there was no need whatsoever to know or understand Iran-Contra? Another 32-year-old flush listener heard from, you know. And says, remember the roasting he got for that? Yeah, I blistered a few in back then when the, yeah, but you know, that was back when the cons and the repigs were all full of themselves and were sure that they, you know, they were like Leonardo DiCaprio at the bow of the Titanic. I'm king of the universe. Or whatever. Well, they're not anymore. They're down in steerage and they're up to their kneecaps in bilge. But there's a lot of truth in that. There is an education process here. And that education process involves Iran-Contra. Frankly, it involves Watergate. It involves, it involves American history, which we are not very good at teaching these days. We're really good. I mean, you know, this is Thanksgiving week, so we're going to have a lot of prating on about how Thanksgiving was, and we'll have the children in schools will be taught the story about the Indians helping out the Pilgrims and blah 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 blah. But if you go back, you can find a little you can find a little proclamation from the governor of the Massachusetts colony, where he called for a day of Thanksgiving after they'd been out slaughtering Native Americans for all they were worth, and killed just a boatload of them. And the first Thanksgiving was a day of giving thanks to God for delivering so many of the heathen savage into their hands that they might be eliminated for Jesus. Oh, yeah. It's all there. You can find it. Mercy. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Roy is calling from Texas. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
What do you say, man?
I'm getting along. How about you?
Just getting along. I totally agree about the draft, but I am tickled to death that Charlie Rangel brought it up.
I think there's a reason in pointing to it, but again, I can't support it in any way.
He doesn't either, and he knows it's a dead issue, but it's just the timing of it, and is the way I see it, and it just got the repigs and Rush Limbaugh all stirred up and everything like that, that their little darlings might have to figure out a way of getting around a draft. But it's not going to happen. Charlie Rangel knows that. He got the subject changed a little bit, and I would say it helped get it back on track to showing a little bit more of Iraq.
Well, you know, the other thing, Roy, is that if you give any sort of an increased military to these monsters, they will use it.
Sure.
You know, if you give a street thug a knife, he will mug people who don't have knives. If you give a street thug a gun, he'll mug the people who have the knives.
Right.
And I mean I hate it that it's come to that in this country, but we really are there. These guys are killers.
That's
and they're punks and they're thugs. And to turn them loose with the military that would grow out of a draft, my God, they'd make war on the whole planet.
They would, but it's just unbelievable. And but like I say, it was funny to know that old Rush got his blood pressure up and.
Oh, and he was having a four-square, purple, polka-dotted, blue-striped hissy about this.
Well, And lots of repeat is doing the same thing. They having a fit. They, but Charlie Rangel, he somewhere tonight having dinner, laughing his ass off.
Well, and again, he served with honor.
He did, and I
think he was even wounded. If I'm not, if memory serves me correctly,
I believe that's correct, and I'm pretty sure it was in Vietnam, but I'm not sure, not positive.
But well, you know, if he can make them sweat a little bit, more power to him.
You damn right. Just make them sweat. And just like McCain jumping out there and hollering, we got to have more troops. All the hell he's doing is protecting his ass for 2008 when it's all turned into a pure D, more quagmire than it already is.
Well,
so I asked for more troops.
Yeah. If they'd followed my plan, we'd have more troops in there, and we could have gotten the job done.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But you know what's so damn funny is Barack Obama is overshadowing John McCain.
Yeah, he is. He is, and he's and he has said today that he believes that the troops should start coming home by in the next year in 2007.
Right. Right. And. But, you know, he's not quite old enough or seasoned enough, probably. But I think the United States could take a lesson from Tennessee voting for that sleazeball corker down there. They're not going to elect a black. It's not going
to
happen.
I hate to even think in those terms, Roy, but I think there's an element of realism to it that just can't be evaded. For my purposes, black, white, or any other particular shade of human skin, I have issues with Barack Obama that go way beyond skin color. My concerns with Barack Obama are that he has shown himself a little bit too willing to what's the current word? Triangulate.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little too prone to waiting and seeing which way the wind is blowing before he steps out and stakes a position. One of the things that's never mentioned, and the thing has been in existence for a couple of years, or at least a year now, is that one survey by Zogby, where the people surveyed, 51% said if George Bush can be shown to have lied about Iraq, that he must be impeached. Well, you know, that's just forgotten about, and I imagine that number is even higher now.
I would say it's higher. I would say it's a lot higher.
You know, there's a lot of call out there for George Bush to be removed from office, and dadgummit, I want it. I've gone back and forth on this. You know, is it better to have him neutered in the White House and sitting there being ineffective and hopeless, or is it better for the Republic to get him out of office and start working on fixing things? And I keep coming down to the idea that it's better to get him out of office.
It's better to get him out of the office. It really is. But I know that she said it's off the table and not going to happen on her watch. But I've also heard Nancy Pelosi say, wherever the investigation leads us is where we will go. And that is the part that I believe she will do.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so too. But getting back to a slime ball sleazy that Corker in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
It is really, really sad to have to watch that they sending that son of a bitch to Washington. And but one damn good thing about it. In all of the happening, they got rid of that creep out in Missouri and George Allen in Virginia.
Yeah, oh Lord, the Senate is going to be dramatically cleaner for that, and DeWine in Ohio. You know, we're in a mess, Roy. We don't have time for boot licks and lick spittles.
Yeah,
we got to have people who will stand up on their own and do the right thing.
Well, I tell you what, in watching all of the new ones that have been elected in the
Well, he'll be. I imagine he'll be a little bit quiet for a while because you know, learning the ropes there is no cakewalk.
Right.
But once he's got his feet under him, I look for him to stand up and do something.
He will.
You know, and I mean, the state of Montana's better off. I mean, they would have been better off if they had gotten rid of Conrad Burns and not put anybody in that seat.
It'd been better off with no representation.
Because that's pretty much what they had. Roy, got to roll on. Good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you.
Take care. Bye, bye now. And on to our good friend David in Tennessee. David, welcome aboard.
Bob, I'm not from there, but in my opinion, the great state of Montana would have been better with a dead horse than that Burns character.
Well, they had a live jackass.
Bada boom, bada bing. Get that man a toaster and send him to Comedy Central.
That was too easy. That was a hanging curveball.
Always glad to apply. Now, let's get back to my Mr. Corker and our Mr. Ford.
Okay.
I think it was a very provincial issue more than a disgustingly race issue that caused Mr. Ford. Mr. Ford left the state of Tennessee for all intents and purposes, except the flyover, and occasionally campaigned when he was 11 years old. He had a privileged upbringing in another state. And as unfortunate as that statement might be, considering what he could have contributed to the state, I'm more comfortable saying that played to a greater extent for the voters in the state of Tennessee than did his race. I think he could have been elected if he had been active politically within the state of Tennessee for the previous, let's say, 10 years. And I guarantee you, it's my feeling, and I talked to one Democratic functionary who said, Harold's going to be seen a lot more. We're all going to think he lives here for the next couple of years. Don't give up on Harold. Harold's going to restructure this, and he is going to reconnect to his state of birth. And if I was a guy that had spoken highly of the educational process, worn a plaid shirt, and begged for a Republican leadership role only to be denied
by one vote,
I would not want to be Mr. Alexander right now thinking job security.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, of course, I still maintain that that ad did its intended business, David. In a race that close, where they perceived as that close, they were just trying to get 1% more out there. And the 1% that they were trying to get out were the 300 thread count sheet and pillowcase crowd.
I'm sure the Clavering crowd, spelled with a K, showed up with great mission in mind. But I don't think that was it. It was the cherry on Sunday, but I don't think it was the whole thing. Well, that aside, I tell you what, I want to put one as my sainted mother used to say, who grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and understood the workings of Churchill Downs, I want to put one in the winter book. A year from now, 2 years from now, you'll be talking about it. Lord knows Wayne will be talking about it. It's a complete geography away. This little blurb that just showed up on the Quality News. Oregon Steel Mills is a very, very interesting company. They were going back into the 40s, this privately held company that went public about 20 years ago. They never had the profitability that, you know, a Microsoft or some kind of internet bubble or any of the rest of that had, but they made a lot of money, and they had 700 to 900, depending on the need, of the most dedicated, virile, hardworking, pure, couldn't find any better American stock working people, union organized, in a single location within the city limits of Portland, Oregon. And they had a specialty steel business. They weren't U.S. Steel. You weren't going to go there and buy the steel that you needed for a quick and dirty building somewhere. they were going to be the guys that made the steel for a NASA application or a any sort of a specialty interest. They were the you know, they were the guy that did the odd work with great profit margins for the steel industry, but they were one of the few producers of steel in the United States that had a bright future. Never the profit margins of Microsoft. And they were out there and they thought they were invulnerable. Okay, thing one. Thing two, there is no investment money dirtier in all of the world than investment money coming out of Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have an amen for that, Brother Bob?
Yeah, amen, amen, and all God's children said amen. Every dollar that every ruble that comes out of Russia is tainted. Whether it's mob
bloody
money or blood money or dirty oil money or Chechen slaughter money, there's no good money coming out. No, you're right.
One poor SOB just wanted to follow up on the murder of the Russian reporter. He'd been out of Russia for 7 years, and they poisoned him in London simply for saying Putsky might have a little hand in that. He said that 4 months ago, and he's lying damn near dead in the London hospital as we speak, and I'm sure somewhere along the way we've heard about that. Okay, let's connect those two things. All Russian investment capital is dirty. There is a reasonably profitable organization in Portland, Oregon, of all places, that makes steel for specialty applications around the world, and they're unionized. And now then, the Russian dirty money has bought them. I'll guarantee you, when those Russian top management values start coming downhill and they want to break that union, there could be a Pullman riot in 18 months within the city limits of Portland, Oregon. Because I know a little bit, having lived in Portland, Oregon for 17 years, there is a stripe of worker that puts that hard hat on, that risks life and limb in a steel mill, that doesn't give a rat's rear less about what a Russian entrepreneur thinks his health care package ought to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Just bookmark this one.
Okay.
This could be so interesting down the line. We'll wait a while. It may take 12, it may take 18 months. But I'm guaranteeing everybody, you know, we'll all go to a Pittsburgh game and I'll buy the hot dogs and the beer. It'll guarantee everybody if this one doesn't happen. This is going to be so fun to watch. It will turn into the textbooks. I can't imagine a more adversarial labor management ownership worker relationship than this one.
Well, I hope they don't just do what Wilbur Ross Jr. did with the International Steel Group, and that is move it in, work it for a while, and shut it down and kill it.
No, they can't, because it will always, and there's more demand for what they're doing now than there was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because there are so few of them. Oregon Steel Mill became the last one standing. They are the source for certain specialties, ferrous metal that just aren't. You don't go to like 9 other places to get what they do. This, but I'm glad you mentioned that fellow that moved in on your coal industry and, you know, sat back and watched the fun as he killed a whole bunch of people. You just wait. This one will bear fruit. And since it is so far away, and it is the bottom of the hour,
it is that.
And I'm going to get out of the way, but I just wanted to put one down.
All right, we've got that one jotted down.
Bookmark that.
2-3 years tops.
Oh, 2 years tops.
Okie dokie.
You just wait. If the sale goes through, if those dirty Russian dollars buy that outfit, you wait till that Russian works its way downhill in Portland, Oregon. That's not going to be granola and lattes and deadhead. That's not going to be a tie-dyed situation, because there are still a lot of really, really bull-necked working people.
Yeah, it's going to be more like sawed-off aluminum ball bats.
Yeah, all those guys that, because that's one of the last cool things in terms of manufacturing. You know, there's a phrase like frigid air for a refrigerator. Half the world calls a lift truck a Hyster. They moved that out of there to China 10 years ago. There's still Hyster veterans that are very angry. There were 1,200 people that worked in the Hyster factory in Northeast Portland. Well, if
and got screwed.
And got screwed. And if those steel workers get it, look out. Or if they try to give it. All right, Bob, thanks for the chance.
All right. Later, David.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. And onward to Peter. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bob, evening to you.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm calling to tell you a story, a day in the life, a slice of what it's like going to church in the South.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. I had an encounter Sunday, yesterday. You know, I go to a little Methodist church out here in the country, and mm-hmm. You've heard me mention this man before. When I've called in, I've mentioned that I had overheard someone at some point, back after the courts appointed Bush president in 2000, that I had overheard someone say, "Well, at least he prays," and it was the same person. And I've always, known where this person stood. But in any case, this man goes to the church, and he has taken some courses in the Methodist Church to become what we call a lay speaker. And what happens is when the pastor is away, which he was this past Sunday, one of the lay speakers does the sermon.
Okay.
And so there I am. I'm running the soundboard, and he gets up there, and let's see, how did it all start? First, out of the clear blue sky, near the beginning of his sermon, he says, "And I still believe that Bush is a man of God." And okay. All right. You can imagine I was sitting there checking lights and meters. I didn't really need to check because I was mad as hell. Then a few minutes later in the conversation, in the sermon, he says, "And I was driving my truck. The man distributes bird seed on the plantations down here." For what that amounts to, plantation actually means it's a rich folks, huge the landowners, and they come down here and hunt, and we call them plantations.
So right.
Anyway, his job is to drive his pickup truck around the plantation and sprinkle bird seed out so the rich white folks will have something to shoot.
Right, and so there'll be a little meat on the bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I think that may be against the law for poor folks to do that. It's called baiting or something.
Yeah, it's called hunting in a baited field. Yes.
Right, and right, but they just do it there as a matter of course. It's simply overlooked. But in any case, he says, and he normally listens to Christian radio, and he was listening to Christian radio, but he switched over to NPR.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And he said, and he heard this scientist saying that they were trying to figure out whether the body really had a soul. And he was saying that this scientist decided what they were going to do is weigh the human body at the moment of death and see if the weight drops slightly after the moment of death to determine if there's a soul. And I had heard this on NPR, by the way, and I went back. That doesn't matter. But
yeah, it's a matter of grams, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's a matter of some several grams.
Well, the woman who was being interviewed actually, she's not a scientist. She wrote a paperback book, and the object of the book was like to debunk some of these afterlife shows. You've seen them, like the Jerry Springer flavor, where people come in and they say they've had these afterlife experiences, and there'll be something.
And I looked down on the operating table, and there I laid.
Right. That was the purpose of the book. And so at the beginning of her talk, she was saying that in the around the turn of the century, there was a scientist, now his name was Dougal or MacDougall, who did that experiment to weigh a human body to see if there was a change in the weight. So anyway, it was anecdotal from the turn of the century, but in any case, he presented it as if a scientist was on NPR saying that they had weighed the soul in modern times, like last week, and that there was no soul, blah, blah, blah. But in other words, it was totally distorted. Standard,
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I sat through that. Okay.
Okay, so far we're, you know, I don't know. You're kind of 0 for 2 or 2 and 0. I'm not sure which.
We're headed for number 3.
You survived the first two.
Okay. Then he says, now Elton John.
No.
I like Elton John's music. But because of his sexual preference, he has said that the church needs to go. And Elton John did make some remarks a few weeks ago. I think they were pretty much the effect of how much damage the church has caused.
Yeah, and that under those circumstances, religion should be outlawed. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, some people were. But the bottom line was, I thought to myself, you son of a bitch. You got a queer sitting right here. And everybody in the church knows it. You got a live one sitting here that's here every Sunday. Why don't you say what I think about the church? What the hell has Elton John got to do with this? Son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised you didn't just feed him back a little bit. Of, you know, maybe a kill a herd
okay.
or two.
And then the sermon went on to be pretty much, go and sin no more. Okay. That was... You can pretty much sum it up as Bush good, scientists and queers bad. Go and sin no more. Okay, so I sat there through the whole thing. And then after church in our little country church, there's no back door. There's no route of escape except by exiting through the front.
Not even through the windows.
Not even. Well, I have heard that. Well, that's another story.
Okay.
But in any case... So you have to kind of pass whoever the preacher was and shake his hand or whatever. So, you know, it gets up to my turn. You know, there's a whole bunch of people there in the little vestibule of the lobby, or some people call it a narthex. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so
Very good, narthex. I hadn't... Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought that was something from the Coneheads, but go
we
ahead.
We have the words down south. We just don't always use them.
Keep them put up for special occasions.
I know. And so it's my turn, and I didn't shake his hand. I patted him on the back, and in my loudest stage voice,
oh, God.
Gritted teeth, I said, so, you still think that evil son of a bitch in the White House is a man of God? You could earn a pin.
Indra, oh.
The man.
And known what note it made.
The man was speechless. It was completely obvious.
You're going to get a letter.
In his little redneck life, had ever said anything negative about George Bush to his face. And he was just speechless. And obviously,
how's that 650,000 dead civilians working out for you and your man
so
of God?
I proceeded to walk down the steps, and then he called out, Peter, you know that doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, I've yet to figure that remark out. What evil son of a bitch doesn't it has to do with being a man of God? And I called back, yeah, I got a big laugh out of that one. Oh. It was huge, honey. Caution light.
God put him there, Peter.
This story is all over my little town. I got to tell you.
No. Are they burning up the Coconut Telegraph?
No, there's a lot of people in the church that feel the way I do, and they're just as fed up as I am.
Oh, so you may be approaching cult hero status.
I am a keen a little bit. I've been getting these little emails.
God bless you.
It's all a huge secret that anybody agrees with me. But I was in stun mode. And Bob, I've got to hand it to you. You know, while I was sitting there at the soundboard listening to the rest of his sermon, which, of course, the end result of that was go and sin no more, I was thinking to myself that the words that you used, you know, it's Friday night, and you better go ahead and call because you're going to have it on your mind all week. And I thought to myself, Peter, if not now, when?
Absolutely. Don't let that stuff... No, it's bad for you to bottle that stuff up.
Exactly. And I thought to myself, how can I go and face him in the chat room? How can I spend hours on the phone with Bob knowing that I didn't say anything to that evil bastard? And, you know, you were talking earlier about do we impeach or not impeach? We need to impeach. We need to impeach, and we need to do it quickly. We need to start these investigations. And the reason why is these people are like rutting animals. They go, they're in a pattern. They listen to their Christian radio, and then they'll switch over to NPR to find out something they can distort. Go,
find out what the secular humanists are doing.
Mm-hmm, and then move right back to Christian radio. These people still have no damn clue that they're dinosaurs. and it's got there. You have to rub the feces in their face, man. You got to tell them, and you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you really. I mean, there's a we. I mean, we've had our fun, Peter, but there is a boatload of truth in what you just said. The subtlety and nuance is lost on this crowd.
Absolutely lost. And Bob, I tell you, man, you have really a lot of that was. From you, man, I got to tell you, you've really encouraged me. You really, really have. And I got to tell you, people, when you're in a situation and you're able to react to it, do it big, do it huge, do it for real. I mean, it feels good. And, you know, what are they going to do? Throw me out? I'm the only bastard down there that knows how to run this sound. So what are they going to do? You know, it really just...
And Christmas pageant season's coming up, too.
Christmas is coming up. And Peter Godzell said, he said, son of a bitch, a jerk. Oh, I'm famous. What can I tell you?
Next step is to learn to say it in Aramaic.
Absolutely. But that's my story, just a little slice of life.
I don't know. I don't know how you got past step one. I mean, you know, but I still believe he's a man of God. Yeah, I mean, I swear, I'd have been up in the booth with you, Peter. Go get me the peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm shooting a preacher.
And I have a little microphone there. I could cut in anytime I want.
This is God.
Right. This man's a stupid son of a bitch. I made him that way. Glory, hallelujah. I made some of them stupid. So anyway, I just...
Yeah, just open, open the mic and... Lucky for you, I'm out of lightning bolts. You know.
Right, right. It's just Sunday. It's in every
I don't. How do you get through that? Yeah. What a combination from George Bush is a man of God to
scientists
weighing souls.
Right. Yeah. From the turn of the century, mind you, that it was.
And I like Elton John.
Yeah, but. he was a perfect trifecta. Bush, science, and what? Oh, yeah.
Big old scary gay people.
Yeah, them scary gay people. And, Bob, the thing about it was he did it with such a perfect assurance that he was correct.
Well, that's the way they are.
Sanctimonious evil.
Yeah.
It was just...
I mean, his sleep, you know, I mean, honest to God, he's never heard about the 650,000 civilians.
No, he has no...
I mean, and you talk about getting up in their face, you know, maybe that's your next step. I mean, because sooner or later he's going to want to come back and say something to you.
Oh.
You know he will.
Sure.
And so you got to be ready. And, well, I don't believe it's 650,000. Okay, screw what you believe. Do you believe it's 300,000? I don't believe it's 300,000. Yeah, and get him down to get him down to 10,000, or tell him, you know, George Bush in a press conference said it's 30,000 innocent dead.
Absolutely, and the line about
now, which one of those innocent dead, in the eyes of Jesus, deserved to die?
Absolutely, you got a good point.
You know, and yeah. that is how you, because that's the only, you are so right, that is the only thing you can do. The subtlety, nuance, no. Shades of meaning, don't work.
No. You got to do it. You got to do it big, and you got to do it. You got to do it the way they do it when they're not at church.
Yeah, well, it's like the bad boys say, come hard or don't come at all. You know, I mean, just
oh, that gives me an idea for a minute.
Anyway, I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of me too, Bob, and I owe it all to you and your evil wife. I love you so much. I really do.
She's so happy to be twisted.
I know. I just think she's like. And so that's really all I have, just a little slice of life. Just,
well, bless your heart. That's
well, Petey just went post. So I'll see you kids later.
All right. Back to the chat room with you.
Good night, y'all.
Bye now. That son of a bitch. And then you know, I didn't cover that story when it came out with the Elton John remark, but you know, he's right. There is so much agony and pain that rises out of people's religion. I mean, I can't begin to tell you, you know, the church recently reaffirmed that marriage is sacred and holy for everybody but priests who have to get along with pedophilia and make do. Yuck. You know, that song we play by Will Kimbrough. Less polite. Let the people marry. Let the priests marry. If people love each other, let them commit to each other. Let them be happy. Makes sense to me. Let's check out East Tennessee now in Knoxville and our good friend Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Oh, I enjoy that, Bob. Now, you know what he really should have done?
What's that?
I think you were close to it. Just keep turning the volume down until he gets that microphone right up in his face. Then just see how high you can set the gain in 1 second.
Oh, they'd have thought they were speaking in tongues.
Either that or drop the 220 line on top of it and go, I don't know how it happened.
Well, you know, we had
the scene from Carrie. This could be funny.
Well, we had that story. That reminds me of something. It was a story, and I caught hell for it because I sort of surreptitiously giggled. That made me really, really mean. The right-wing fundy Baptist minister in Texas. Do you remember this thing where Dum Dum walked into the baptistry with his microphone strapped on and electrocuted himself?
Oh gosh!
And I commented on this on a blog, or maybe it was at DU or something, and I can't believe he would be that insensitive. Yeah, I can't believe he would be that stupid.
Was it the one Yahoo calls it the Darwin Awards?
Yeah,
you know, thinning out the herd to save the genetic pool, please.
You know, whether it's Ted Haggard or the leader of the Oklahoma Baptist Convention getting caught soliciting gay prostitutes on his big old high time, you know, he's not in Tulsa, he's not at home, he's down in Oklahoma City, you know, the sin city, and he's soliciting little boys. It's all over the place. Well, it's like this Kerouac guy that we've been talking about tonight, a woman's concern and crash commercialism the crash commercialism of contraception is not good for the dignity of a woman. You know, what does he know about being a woman? What we're going to find out is that he wants to be a woman. There will be pictures of Dr. Kerouac out there in a stunning cocktail frock.
He found the secret J. Edgar Hoover closet.
He found the lead sarcophagus.
Oh, no. The ones I've been getting to today, I sent you a couple of them, are the way that apparently our media has decided, you know what, let's not report the truth. Let's remake the truth just the way we like it. I mean, all these things, I sent you the thing about, for Media Matters, the Matthews thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
where
Chris, just go ahead and quit now and become his campaign manager and be done with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mean where he calls him, the heroic and a common sense hawk, and
it's just a montage of it. It's like, you know, Chris, do you want to have his child? What? I mean, really?
No, it's sickening. It's sickening to watch this fawning. These people are desperate to have something to put on the TV.
Well, it's like,
and it's just
like,
embarrassing now.
Well, it's like the other ones we were talking about. I sent you, you know, the thing about, you know, how that was it Wolf. You but Commander Wolf Blitzer and somebody else was Mara Lyson. We're doing the reports on Michael Steele. And amazingly enough, they forgot to leave out the parts where Michael Steele had been trying to advertise himself as a Democrat while he was running in the Republican primary.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a man of honor. It's like, oh, God.
But, you know, they'll get a pass on all of that. You know,
oh,
but on,
I tell you.
On the
one, but did you see the one I said, the one about Bill O and I don't even want to mention his name over on Headline News.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about them saying that Vermont no longer belongs to the United States because they elected a socialist.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, and then the thing is, Bill O or Feckless Beck are not, you know, they're not fit to carry
Bernie's lunch pail.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was looking for something. Yeah, lunch pail will do nicely. Yeah. You know, Bernie Sanders actually gives a damn about other human beings.
Well, and the thing is, I've for a long time listened to him. You know, he does that one week thing with Tom Hartman.
Oh, that's always a joy. Yeah,
that's one of the best hours to listen to is that thing on Friday afternoon when he has Bernie Sanders in, because Bernie, maybe it's just the fact we're that far left. Bernie to me makes total sense. I mean,
well, there's not
a whole lot I ever disagree with him on.
No, I mean, you know, I don't care. I don't care if he calls himself an anarcho-syndicalist, okay? But he's just bringing some of those good old-fashioned Vermont, you know, up country, New England common sense. You know, you give me 20 or 30 Bernie Sanderses, you give me, you know, 20 or 30 Paul Wellstones, and you'll have a Senate that's worthy of its history.
I know it's one of those things. It's like, you know, right now we're seeing these things. It's like, you know. When you see some of these people, it's like, get off the dime. Just quit arguing about this stuff and go on. You know, it's like this thing here. I'm not going to get into it because I tell you what, every time I do, I get kicked off. Here we've had this thing now with OJ. And then we've had these, you know, these other things. It's all distraction. It's like, go away. You know, it's like how you say about the missing white women story.
Yeah.
If it ain't within 150 miles of me, why are you bringing it to me?
And what makes you think it constitutes news, any way you slice it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, it might be one time. Okay, you get it one time. There's no need to repeat it. You know what I mean? Until you find something out, don't come back to me.
Right.
Quit giving me daily updates on it. I mean, oh.
Well, at least Bullwinkle's baby sister's gone. That was a relief.
I'm afraid, though, she's out there somewhere. You saw the thing with Abrams, you know, where he was talking about, you know, this is the way we want to run our news service. And where I think they're pushing Oberman now because he actually is making numbers.
Right.
And cutting into Billo really bad, which I just so
well, about. Frankly, I think, you know, what they ought to do is fire Brian Williams and put Oberman over on the NBC Nightly News.
Well, he couldn't have as much fun there, though. I don't think. You know what I mean?
I think
he's right where he needs to be. You know what I mean? It's one of those things I consider him kind of the lead up waiting for the Daily Show to come in.
Better, you know, or
9 o'clock to make it real nice.
Or give him the Today Show.
Oh, it'd be nice if I don't know if I'd want him there day after day, but like you know how we keep on seeing apparently now all of these right wingers showing up on the morning shows.
Yeah.
It's like today, why don't you all have Keith in for like Friday morning, or you know have him tape something, you know, for like the last segment on Friday mornings or something. Start the weekend, you know, whatever it is. But you know what I mean? It's like oh. I'm really beginning to wonder: Does Fox now have a? Did they buy part of Good Morning America?
Well, yeah, exactly. I've seen that a couple of times. Now, what are these Fox goobers doing?
The only thing I can figure is, I guess that the haircut and Billo both are on ABC Radio. I guess that's you know what I mean. They're on ABC station.
Yeah, but I thought
that's the only thing connection I can notice. You know what I mean? That I know of. And you're just kind of going, well, why are they having them on every damn week? I mean, apparently, I bet 10-1 they've hired somebody that says, oh, yes, you got to be over, have people from all sides.
But, you know, you got to remember, I forget who it was that wrote the book about his MSNBC experience. You know, for every liberal you have on, you have to have four conservatives.
Jeff Cohen, I just finished it.
Yeah.
It is great. If you want to know how MSNBC and CNN and Fox run, it's one of the best books. It's not that long, but he goes through the whole thing of what happened with Donahue.
Well, you know, we are in a bizarre world. I had an email earlier this evening saying that we're back into opposite world, as it were.
Bizarro world,
opposite world, because we're seeing things that just there's no other way to make it make sense. You know, with this Dr. Kerouac, the writer said, allow them to make their own informed medical decisions, you know, that's somehow sick, you know, twisted. And you know, and there it is again with Alberto Gonzalez over the weekend. I love this particular phrase. I don't know how you get through life with the walls melting and the potted plants turning into snakes and all the hallucinating that has to be going on in his mind. I love this opening paragraph from the Associated Press. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez contended Saturday that some critics of the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program were, defining freedom in a way that poses a grave threat to U.S. security. It's going back to what Peter said. You know, irony, nuance, all of it. It's lost on these people. He's never read the Benjamin Franklin quote.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. Sometimes you just sit there and go, you know, what world did you grow up in? Because you apparently weren't paying attention.
Well, in some ways, I suppose freedom is a threat to security because freedom is the opposite of security.
Yeah. It is like the Benjamin Franklin thing. It's sort of like, say, you know, if you give up enough, you're going to be secure, but you ain't going to enjoy where you are.
Well, but you're not going to, at the end of the day, you're not going to be secure either.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge of it,
and somebody else is.
Well, when you've lost your freedom, you're not secure because you've given your freedom to somebody else, so therefore, you know, there goes your security. Freedom is security.
I told Agnes, and just for anybody out there who's listening, Mr. Oberman does one of his commentaries tonight.
Oh.
And he does it kind of weird. I was sitting here watching, I had it on mute while I was listening to you all, and he came on like right after the half-hour break and did it. So it's like about 8:35 or so, so I guess...
Oh, so I've only got to make it to about 12:45 tonight then.
Yeah.
For the rerun.
And essentially it's like he's telling Mr. Bush what the real lesson he should have learned from Vietnam was. You know...
Well, this thing with Gonzalez just amazes me, Luke, because he wants to
get rid of the judiciary. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Well, at the end of the day, he wants to tell the judiciary what to do. He doesn't want an independent judiciary. He doesn't want any oversight. And the thing is, these were remarks that were delivered at the Air Force Academy, and if you go back to one of last week's shows, Mark Levine had on.
The fellow whose son was up there. And,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've heard that off and on, you know, for the last 6 months.
The Air Force Academy is a cult.
Yeah. Essentially, if you don't belong to the right group, you don't belong, so to speak.
I love that, you know, this view is short-sighted. Its definition of freedom, one utterly divorced from civic responsibility, is superficial and is itself a grave threat to the liberty and security of the American people. He's just babbling. I mean, he's speaking in tongues at this point, Luke.
Well, it's like the stupid guy. You know what I mean? He don't speak a whole sentence. He just speaks one soundbite to the next. We were talking about this one time, and I said it's amazing when you listen to the stupid guy speak. When he's talking about anything, most anything, he is so disjointed and so all over the map until he starts talking about killing people.
And then it is crystal clear.
He is littered as can be.
And, of course, he got his butt handed to him in Asia on this last trip. You noticed that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Couldn't get anybody to come on board with his Korea plan.
Well, the thing of it is like, and they did, did the drive-by through Indonesia. It's like, I guess he was kind of feared they were going to come out and set the plane on fire.
Well, no, they curtailed it. It had been planned to be longer, but they got his terrified butt out of there.
You know, we I think I mentioned this.
But standing there in Vietnam, Luke, and he says, "Well, we've learned the lesson of Vietnam. We quit, and we're not going to quit in Iraq." My God, if you're a Vietnamese person, in other words, if George Bush had his way, we'd still be there killing Vietnamese.
Well, I mean, that's what Oberman was saying. He said, "Mr. Bush, we learned the lesson. We got out. That was the lesson. Get out
and don't start him."
You know, it's like that is your best solution. Get out now.
It ain't going to get any better, and it may very well get a whole lot worse.
I'll tell you what, it's like the fella, you know, how are you going to put the fire out? I'll just keep throwing gas on it. It'll go out eventually.
Run out of gas.
Or run out of air.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, buddy, I see it's getting near the top of the hour. Let me let you go.
All right, take care, Luke. Thanks for everything.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, these remarks, they make your head hurt, these remarks by Gonzalez. Speaking to the cadets, Gonzalez dismissed as myth, the charge that civil liberties were being sacrificed in the fight against terrorism. He defended the Patriot Act on the handling of detainees at the U.S. military base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Quote,
to achieve victory, and you know he's got that nasally little, real weaselly little voice. To achieve victory at the cost of eroding civil liberties would not really be a victory. We cannot change the core identity of our nation and claim success.
But, of course, that's exactly what they've done. And we're missing, all the journalists are missing the boat on the argument about habeas corpus and the fact that there's talk of reviewing that law when the Democrats can take control of Congress because of, And, well, it's Christopher Dodge. Senator, I heard it on the way home on you know, Nationalistic People's Radio. And Senator Christopher Dodd wants to restore habeas corpus rights to detainees. Screw that, Mr. Newscaster. Senator Christopher Dodd wants to restore habeas corpus rights to you and to me and to those we love who might otherwise be locked up, American citizens, because there's a provision in there for that. We've gone over it. We've done the hard work. We've done the journalistic legwork. You know, it's not about restoring habeas corpus rights to George Bush's concentration camp prisoners. It's about restoring habeas corpus rights to the guy, to the old guy who lives down at the corner of Oak and Main. That's it. Sorry I was tardy for the first half hour. I'll be here with bells on tomorrow evening, and I might even have my wits about me. Thanks to everybody, however you you joined in. Thanks for going out and making differences. Thanks for standing up to ignorant and thuggish people at every opportunity. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by John Fox. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the podcasts, and the archives of all the programs on the Horn. We have wonderful moderators. We have excellent news editors on the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com news blog. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional, and we thank him. And all the programs on the Horn come to you because of the dedication of several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters who get up every day and go out and build the American dream from the ground up. And by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. The Washington Post reports the Pentagon has laid out three options for the war in Iraq following a secret review commissioned by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The first option is to put more troops into Iraq. The second is to reduce the size of the U.S. force but stay longer in Iraq. And the third is to pull out of the country entirely. These can be simplified as, quote, go big, go long, or go home. Senators are split on the possible military options in Iraq. Yesterday, Arizona Republican John McCain said he supports more troops. However, Michigan Democrat Carl Levin wants the troop withdrawal from Iraq to begin in 4 to 6 months. President Bush said today he hasn't decided whether he will send more troops to Iraq or reduce the size of the force. He wrapped up his week-long trip to Asia with a six-hour stop in Indonesia, where he was greeted by thousands of protesters. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a British television interview Sunday that military victory in the war in Iraq is no longer possible. He also said the United States must enter into talks with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran. The Associated Press reports that Iran has invited the Iraqi and Syrian presidents for a weekend summit next week. They're expected to discuss how to stop the spiraling sectarian violence in Iraq. And in Iraq, that violence has claimed the lives of 48 Iraqis today, including a popular television comedian and a college professor. The Iraqi death toll so far in November is at least 1,370, according to the Associated Press count. A human rights group released a 97-page report that said the verdict in Saddam Hussein's first trial is, quote, questionable. Human Rights Watch states that the trial was not carried out fairly and the Iraqi court was not capable of handling the complex case properly. A school bus accident in Huntsville, Alabama today has killed two teenage girls. 30 students were injured when the bus reportedly plunged headfirst more than 30 feet off an interstate. In eastern India, a blast Monday evening on a passenger train killed at least 8 people. About 60 others were